Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age and the one to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of God. Let's pray once again. Father, I pray that you will open our eyes to see the supremacy and the glory of Christ in this passage, and that we will love his glory that shines so brightly through the scriptures. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you'll see on your notice sheet, the theme of this morning's service is Believer, pray to see, know, and savor what you have in Christ and his supremacy over all. Now, recently I have had the opportunity to communicate with two atheists on our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page, Birchley Baptist Church. Sometimes we do ads, and sometimes I engage with atheists. And sometimes these communications with them can be quite interesting and heated, because it doesn't matter what you tell them about Christ, what you say about the gospel, they always have an answer, or they will try to make Jesus Christ and the Bible look ridiculous and stupid for Christians to actually believe in the Bible and to believe in the gospel. They would think you are a fool to believe in the things of God. And they pull out all the stops to discredit the Bible, to point out the apparent contradictions in the Bible. So when you communicate and try to reason with them, they're very dismissive. And if you tell them about creation and that creation points out to the Creator, they don't believe in that. For them, all there is this world. And when you die, you're dead. That's what atheists believe. So, if you speak to those kind of people, you ask yourself the question, why is it that they don't believe the things that are written in the Bible? Why can't they see that Christ is ultimately glorious and sufficient and all that we need? If you ask me, I would say to you, the deepest reason is why I am a Christian and believe the things in the Bible is because of the illumination of the Holy Spirit. It's because the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. It's because I was once an atheist, 25, 26 years ago. I thought the things of the Bible is ridiculous. But then one day, God opened my eyes and he gave me the Spirit and he illuminated my understanding, and I wanted to read the Bible. And when I read the Bible, I saw that I'm a sinner and I saw the glory of Christ and I believed on Christ. What is the deepest reason? It's because the Holy Spirit worked. The Holy Spirit illuminated my understanding, and therefore I believed in God. And that, you can say, that work of the Spirit is a very powerful work. Recently in the news, you probably have heard of the volcanic eruption in Tonga. There was a huge eruption. They say they had satellite images of this eruption, and many people, I think, were killed. They say that eruption was worse than the atomic bombs that fell on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in the Second World War. It was actually worse than that. If you think about those displays of power, you are sometimes awestruck when you see it, because they actually show the video images. I don't know if you've seen it. And see, we as human beings, many times when we look at things like that, we are dazzled, we are mesmerized to see the displays of God's power and nature, like a thunderstorm as well. When we witness that, the lightning and the thunder and so on, we are dazzled many times when we see that kind of power. Sometimes when I see, we live in Kempton Park, when you see the aeroplanes going off, that is actually amazing. That you know, for centuries and centuries and centuries and millennium, there were no aeroplanes. But that human beings can actually, invent stuff like that, and aeroplanes can actually go off like that, is amazing. That's a tremendous amount of power involved for an aeroplane actually to go. I mean, we take it for granted. But when it comes to comparing God's power to that kind of power, God's power is unsurpassed. It's unrivaled. That's why the Bible calls God, in Greek, Pantokrator. That means He's the Almighty. The might of God is unsurpassed. You cannot compare, actually, God's power to the power that we find anywhere else. If you just think about creation, God created everything out of nothing. God set the planets into motions. God created the stars. He set them there. That is displays of power. No power can be compared to the power of God that He has actually exhibited in nature. No power can compare to that. But when it comes to the power of God in redemption, then you actually get a greater power, because we are all surrounded by different displays of power every day. And the power of fallenness, the power of sin, the power of death. Because of sin, we are struggling with fears and hate and jealousy and all these kind of things. The fallenness that we found ourselves in, they are actually displays of power. The power of the flesh, the power of the world, the power of Satan, all these kind of things, they are displays of power. But God's ultimate display of power is in redemption, is in Jesus Christ. And that's what we find in this passage. We see God showing us what is most powerful. What is most powerful? And that is the power we find in Jesus Christ. There's no power that can be compared to that power. And especially the power in redemption. Because in redemption, God makes dead people alive. And God overcomes the powers of sin, the powers of death, the powers of evil principalities, of Satan. God, in redemption, displays His ultimate power. And that is what this passage is all about. But unfortunately, like I said in the beginning, some people are blind. They don't have ears to hear. They do not have eyes to see this power and this supreme display of God. They are blind. And therefore, what is most important in the Christian's life, and actually in the unbeliever's life as well, is to actually grasp what we have in Christ. We need illumination. We need Christian enlightenment. Day by day, week by week, that's what we need. We need to see the power of God in our lives and the power of God actually in the universe. And once we are captivated by that power, everything changes. Everything changes in our lives. So this message, firstly, I want to look at just a recap on my previous message. Illumination is necessary to know what we have in Christ. Illumination is necessary. Those atheists, they don't see the glory of God in the gospel. They don't. They are blinded. The devil has blinded them. And there are millions of people out there that do not see the glory of God in Christ, in the gospel. They don't see it. They don't have eyes to see it. Why? Because they love the things of the world. They are bent on the world, on the powers of the world. They gravitate towards those things. And those things captivate their minds. Therefore, they have no eyes to see the glory of Christ. And therefore, they are not saved. So first of all, we as believers, because Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesian believers, he says, he prays that the eyes of their hearts may be enlightened to know certain things. That they need illumination. We need the Holy Spirit constantly as believers to see certain things that we have in Christ. What are those things? First of all, Paul says, is to know, to see and to know and to love, we can say, the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling. What has God called us to? He has called us to glory. He has called us to spend eternity with Him in heaven and the new earth. And we need eyes to see that world. There's a world to come. We need to know, we need eyes to see that there's a life coming where righteousness will reign, where there will be no sin and death. Secondly, we need to see the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. There are riches of glory. There are marvelous things coming your way if you are a believer. And you need illumination constantly to see those things. There are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance. You have an inheritance in heaven. And then he says in this passage, we need to know, we need illumination to see and to know the immeasurable greatness of His power towards those who believe. And that power is the power of salvation, of redemption in Christ. It's the power that overcomes death. It is the power that overcomes your sin. It is the power that overcomes the flesh in your life. And we need constant reminders. We need to pray, we as believers, to see the immeasurable power of God. Because we as believers, many times, we get discouraged. We get depressed. Because the power of the flesh, the power of the world, overcomes us. We struggle. We struggle in the Christian life to overcome our flesh, the world, Satan. We struggle. Therefore, you need illumination to know that the power at your disposal through Jesus Christ is greater than any other power. The power of your sin, even the power of death. That's what this passage is about. You need to know the power that is at work in Christ as it is at your disposal as a believer. You are connected to Christ. And if you are connected to Christ, if you're a believer in Christ, that power is at your disposal. And Paul is praying to the believers that they may know what they have in Christ, the spiritual blessings, the power that they have in the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. Now, what I want to focus on in this message is from verse 19 and 20. Let's start reading there. And I want you to see the connection that Paul makes between the power of Christ and the power at work in the believer. Verse 19, he says, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places?" So, in verse 19 and 20, we see Paul making a connection. He said, the power that is at work in you as a believer is like the power that God worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the Father. So, the first thing that we need to see is this, that this power that is at work in us is connected to the supreme power of Christ. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead above all authority and power and every name that can be named, as our text says. That power conquered the power of death. And now Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. That means He is in the most powerful position in the universe at the moment. That so first of all, we have to pray to see the supremacy of Christ above everything else. You have to see that. Jesus Christ overcame death. And Jesus Christ is above every power in the universe. So you have to realize that as a believer. Because if you are connected to Christ, if you are in Christ, if you are redeemed from your sins, that power, the most supreme power in the world, is at work in you as a believer. So what Paul makes clear, he says, we need to pray. We need to pray for illumination. And basically, we need enlightenment to see the supremacy of Christ above everything. That's what we need to see. That's what you need to see every day in 2022. That is what you need to do. You need to be captivated by the supremacy of Christ above everything else, above anyone else, every power. And we will look at that now. That's what you need to see. You need to be captivated by it. You need to know this power of Christ. Many times when we live in this world, we are confronted with other power structures like the government, like our bosses, like supernatural forces, demon workings of demons and so on. We are confronted with many powers, we can say. The government is a power instituted by God. But all these powers are not more powerful than God. We have to realize that. The power of God is over and above any other power. So first of all, we see in this text, in verse 20, that it says that God worked, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So the power that was at work in Christ was the power that raised him from the dead. Now we have to understand something. Jesus Christ was a human being. He was not a ghost. If he was just raised if he was not really a human being, that wouldn't be very significant. It wouldn't be very significant. But Jesus Christ was truly a human being. And if people are dead, they're dead, right? It's a miracle for God to raise somebody from the dead. So we have to come to grips with this fact that Jesus Christ was actually a human being. And what God did in Jesus Christ was a miracle. It's not something ordinary. You don't see it every day. God has the power to raise the dead. That's the power of God. One of our greatest enemies is death. We're all going to die one day. And that's the fear that most people have as well. What is going to happen when I die? Where am I going? People fear death. But what we see in the gospel is this, that God actually raised Jesus physically from the dead. That's what he did. That's why Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. That is the power of God. He has the power to raise people from the dead. And he started with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was raised in a spiritual body. He's the first fruit. He's the firstborn of the dead. That means he's the beginning of the new creation. He's the second Adam. He's the last Adam. He's the second Adam. He's the representation of mankind. And if you are in Jesus Christ, if you die, you shall live. That is the significance of the resurrection and of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He dealt with sin. He conquered the devil, the principalities and powers. And then he was raised from the dead. He conquered all our enemies, sin, death, and hell. And now he reigns supreme. And that is the power of Christ. There's no power that can be compared to this. No power. So that is why Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says, Christ was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. If we do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the dead will not be erased. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is foundational to the Christian faith. If you do not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, you are still in your sins. You are damned. You are doomed. Jesus was raised from the dead. Physically, in a spiritual body, he's the second Adam. He's the firstborn of the new creation. And if you believe in Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven, you will also be with God in heaven with a spiritual body in glory one day. That is the power of the gospel. And there's no greater power than that. There's no religion that can promise that. All the leaders of the other religions, they don't have somebody who came back from the dead, who conquered death, who dealt with sin, who gave a death blow to Satan. No other religion. So therefore, we are saying that this power of Jesus Christ is supreme. It's the ultimate power in the universe. The power to overcome death. And therefore, he is supreme. And we need to see that. We need to know that. We need to be connected to Christ. That's why the Bible says, whoever believes in Christ has eternal life. You have it. You have eternal life. If you believe in Christ, if you believe into Christ, you are connected to Christ. You're committed to him. You have the Spirit. You have eternal life. That is the greatest power in the world. That's why one of those songs says, no fear in death, no guilt in life. This is the power of Christ in me. That is the power. No fear in death. And we need to be captivated by that. And if you know that you have a part in Jesus Christ, then you will want to share that with others, isn't it? There's eternal life available out. It's there. It's in Jesus Christ. You need to share that with others. That's the first thing. That's what the first thing that we need to see. The second thing is verse 20. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That talks about the ascension of Christ. The ascension of Christ, 2,000 years ago, it happened after Jesus was raised from the dead in a spiritual body that can never die. He went back into heaven. He was seated at the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? It means that it's actually a political statement. Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. All authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus Christ. There's no authority higher than him. To be seated at the right hand of the Father means it's the place of ultimate supreme power in the universe. That's what it means. At the right hand. If you go in the Old Testament, many times you would see Psalm 118. The right hand of the Lord does wondrously. The right hand of the Lord delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt. The right hand of the Lord. That is there's the place of supreme power, ultimate power, omnipotent power. The right hand of the Father. There's no place in the universe that's more powerful than the right hand of the Father. So that's where Jesus Christ is now. That's why Matthew 28 says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Christ. All authority. That's supreme power. And the fact that that the Father raised him and that he is seated at the right hand is very important. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand. That means that the work that he accomplished is complete. That's what it means. If you sit down after a day's work, it means your work for the day is finished. You're not going to start working again. So when Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, it means that the work of redemption is complete. It is finished. There's nothing to add to it. So what Christ had done when he lived on this earth, when he died, and when he rose from the dead, that work of redemption is complete. It is perfect. It's the perfect redemption. There's nothing that can be added to it. There's nothing that can be taken away from it. It is the perfect redemption. And therefore, he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. There's nothing that can be added to that. So when Christ is seated, it means the work of redemption is perfect. It is complete. And now what we do not add to his salvation. We preach the salvation that's already there. And that is what we need to see. So Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's a place of ultimate authority. Now, verse 21, he says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Why does Paul say, why does he repeat all these words? Far above rule, authority, power, dominion. Could he have not just said power, dominion, authority, one of them? Why the repetition? Rule, authority, power, dominion. You find the same words in Ephesians 6 verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, and so on. It's basically to emphasize one fact. There's no power that has existed, that is now existing, that will exist, that is above Christ. That's what basic. No human power, no human authority, no invisible force, no demonic power, no angelic power, no power, no government, no personality, no person, no nothing visible or invisible, past, present, future. Nothing rivals the authority of Christ. Amen. That is the point. He is far above. Listen to those words. He is far above. He's not just above. He is far above all authority. So no angel, no archangel, not Satan, nobody can rival his authority. No one. All human rulers, and we can go through lists, the Roman Empire, the emperors that lived during that time, the current powers that be, the superpowers, China, USA, United Kingdom, Russia, those who have atomic weapons, God's power is above that. It surpasses that. If the Third World War destroys the whole earth, God will still reign. You see, if everything is wrapped up, God will still reign. Because his power is not only for this age, but for the age to come. It's not only this world, it's for the world to come. So his power transcends this world. Time and space, matter. It goes into the new creation. That is the power of Christ. So no human authority, United Nations, World Health Organization, no secret society, no evil force, no demonic force, not all the demons put together attacking Christ. No one can rival Christ's authority. No one. He is far above every rule, authority, and power. Then it goes on, verse 21. He says, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So there are some people of a lot of influence, but they're not in a position of power. You think of sports personalities. You think of businessmen. Maybe they have power, but they don't have the power that the government has, for example. But people of influence, like movie stars or sports personalities, people with a lot of money, or people that have invented a lot of things, like Isaac Newton, or famous people, people that are billionaires, like Elon Musk, or Bill Gates, or whoever it may be, the richest person in the world. No person has authority over Christ that are living now, that has lived, that will live. Nobody. Not in this life, not in the age to come. Because we live still in this world, in this age. One day, God is going to come again, Jesus is going to come again, and this will be the eternal state. And in the eternal state, Christ will also rule supreme over the redeemed, over the church. That is the point later that he's making. He's not only in this life. He's now ruling. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But in the age to come, he's also going to rule. All of the church, everybody in the church is going to worship Jesus. He's going to rule in the next age. For all eternity, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's ruling, he's reigning. So nobody, his power is unmatched. That's basically what we are saying. His power is unmatched. There's no one stronger, better, superior to Christ. He rules supreme in this age and in the next. There's no name that can be named that can be compared to Christ. Not angelic, not human being, not organization, not government. No one. And that's the point Paul is making here. He wants us to see the supremacy of Christ. To see it, to know it, and to love it. To submit unto the authority of Jesus Christ. That's the point in this passage. Verse 22, it says, "And he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Now, I mentioned that before. Christ does not only rule over everything in this world, or in the universe, or over all the planets and the stars. I don't believe there are life forms anywhere else. But if there were, Christ also rules over them. You know, if you're a Star Wars fan or a Star Trek fan, Christ rules over them as well. You know, he rules over everything. Any other possible civilization in the universe, I don't believe they exist. But if they do exist, Christ rules over them. He rules over the universe. That's what it means. So, and it says, he has put all things under his feet. Basically saying the same thing. Everything is under Christ. Everything bows down. That's why Philippians chapter 1 says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. All things are put under his feet. And that means everything in the church as well. Everything in the church. He is the head of the church. The Pope is not the head of the church. Not any Pope that have ever lived. Not any reformer. Not Charles Spurgeon, the great writer and preacher. No Christian leader that has ever lived. No pastor, no apostle, not any of the apostles. Christ is the head of the church. Not Peter, not Paul. Christ is the head of the church. Not our confession is not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. The pastors, the elders are not the head of the church. Not in this church, not in any church. Christ is the head of the church. That is what we learned from the Reformation. That's what they champion. Christ is the head of the church, not the Pope, not the councils, not what they have said. Now, confessions can be very helpful, yes, but they're not above the church. Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of Birchley Baptist Church. The pastors are not the head of the church. I'm not the head of the church. The pillar is not the head of the church. Christ is the head of this church. He can dismiss us at any time, and he will still be the head of the church. Amen. Christ is the head of, and that's the point that he's making. He's the head of the global church. He's supreme in the church. And therefore, everybody in the church must worship Jesus Christ. Everybody must bow down to him, because he's supreme. He is God. He is Lord. He has been raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And that is what this passage is all about. It's trying to lift up Jesus. It's trying to lift up Jesus to where he should be. In the church, in your life, he should rule supreme. He's stronger than any power of sin. He's stronger than death itself. So if you are believing in Jesus Christ, you will reign with Christ. He has dealt with sin. And whatever sins that you are struggling with, he can overcome that sin. That is the point of salvation. He has the power to conquer everything in your life if you submit to him. And I know we all struggle with sin. We are always battling with sin. But one day, all sin will be gone. All sin will be gone. And the new heavens and the new earth, nobody will sin. Nobody will struggle with sin. There will be no death. There will be no sin. There will only be righteousness, holiness, and we will all love one another perfectly without any sin. And that is what Christ is doing. He is supreme over this age and the age to come. And in the age to come, we will worship Christ. We will worship Christ. And what you and I need mostly is to see and to know and to savior, to be captivated by the view that the scriptures give of Christ. We need to be captivated by this. Because there are so many things in the world will tell you, be amazed, wonderful, great. But we need illumination. We need to pray constantly to see the supremacy of Christ over everything. And if we do that, we will serve Him well. We will serve Him well and we will share Christ with others because we know He's more powerful than anything else. Than anything else. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16. Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. The gates of hell will not prevail against His church. Christ is building His church. And it says there lastly in this verse, the church is His body, the fullness of Him. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. That's an amazing statement. Think about it. The church is the fullness of Him. That means that Christ does many things. He doesn't have to consult the church to do things. He's sovereign over everything. But God works in this world mainly through the church. Through the church. We are His hands and His feet. Jesus Christ is not physically here. He's not physically here. He's physically in heaven. His human nature is in heaven. He's spiritually with us. Yes. He's always with us. But physically, in His human nature, He's in heaven. We are His feet and His hands. And we speak for Christ. We are the image bearers. We are His ambassadors. So when Christ works on the earth, He works through the church. He works through us bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He works through our words, communicating the gospel. That's what He does. So we are the fullness of Him here on earth. We are the fullness of Him. We are the engines through which He works on this earth to build His kingdom. Through our prayers, through our actions, through our words, through our attitudes, that is how God works. That is an amazing statement. It doesn't mean that we can tell Christ what to do. No. He is the head. We are the body. He controls us. He directs us. He's the head. He decides what the church should do. We just submit under His authority. But He works through the church. So think about that this week when you are at work or wherever you travel. If you're a Christian, you are connected to Christ and you are supposed to carry on His work through the Spirit. That is why you are here. You are the hands. You are the feet of Jesus. And may God help us. May God help us to do the things that He wants us to do. And I pray for each one of you. I pray for myself that I will continually be enlightened. Be enlightened. And to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit. I pray that for you. That you will be captivated. I think that's the right word. Be captivated by the glory and supremacy of Christ in 2022. I pray that for you. I pray that for me constantly. And therefore that you will walk in the ways that He has prepared for you. We'll look at that next week. The good works that He has prepared for you, that you would walk in those things. Why? Because Christ is supreme. He's supreme, He's ruling, He's reigning. And if you are not a Christian today, I don't know all of you, if you are not a Christian, come to Jesus Christ. Submit unto His authority. Believe in Jesus Christ. Because there's no person that is like Christ. That can save you, that can cleanse you, that can help you, that can direct you throughout your life. And once you die, as the Bible says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, though you die, you shall live. Because of Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this passage. It makes so clear the supremacy of Christ over all powers, over all authorities, over all personalities. Father, we pray that You will grant us eyes to see and that we would know and that we would savor the supremacy of Christ in the church, over the world, over the universe, and all the galaxies. Father, may we know His power in our own lives. May we know the power that can redeem us from all our sins. Father, help us to see Jesus Christ as He is. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.